Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it a beautiful day outside?
Yeah.
A couple things real quick before we get started. We are having our talent show tonight, 5 o'clock. One thing I need to mention is that it is full. We've been kind of soliciting more talent and almost begging, and now we're saying we're topped off. We're a little over full. But tonight, those that are planning to do something for the talent show, we need you to come early, about 45 minutes early if you can, and pray for Tom and Zach. They're going to be trying to herd cats tonight. It's quite a deal wrangling that many of us and trying to be organized and do it on the fly. But we want to have a good time tonight. One last plug for the men's retreat that's coming up this weekend. It's still not too late to go. I want to say one thing to if there are men who are still teetering and considering going, if they're married to the wives, I want to offer you a guarantee. Encourage your husband to go. And when we come back, we will give him back to you. And if he's not a better man, we'll give you your old husband back, no extra charge. That's the guarantee. Okay? So just factor that in. All right, Mythbusters. This is week number 4. This is the final week on this series of Mythbusters, things we commonly hear. And so today we're going to talk about this idea that everything happens for a reason. And this one, I want to tell you right off the bat as we begin that this will probably be a little confusing. There may be some point in the sermon that you're scratching your head and you think, Elliot, you're confusing me. And that's okay. So I just, you know, factor that in and be prepared for that. And by the end, this should all make sense. We're going to start in Galatians 6, verse 7. And we start out with the fact that there are certain things that do happen for a reason in this life. There absolutely are certain things. And so we'll start out just talking about sin and consequences. Just the principle of you reap what you sow. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." This is sowing. This one speaks about when we sow bad and good. But let's just think about bad. When people choose to do bad, there are bad consequences. It may be bad consequences in your own life. You may reap painful consequences because of wrong choices that you made. And that's just the law of sowing and reaping that we live by, that this life functions by. It's also true that when someone chooses to hurt another, there's a reason why you were hurt. You were hurt because someone chose sin. Someone chose wrong. This explains cases that are very painful. It explains devastation around the world by corrupt governments and corrupt nations. It explains some wars and terrorism. It explains awful things that we hear about, read about, and some have experienced. It's because another one chose sin. And God will not stop a person from doing wrong if they choose to do wrong. God gives us free will. And so that principle of free will explains a lot of suffering in the world. Because God allows us to make choices. And it's difficult. 2 Corinthians 9:6. This is one speaking about in the congregation and our giving to God. This is a good type of reaping what we sow. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's a principle talking about God helping us and giving back to us when we give to Him. And so, yes, there are certain things in life that happen for a reason. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. Let's flip to 1 Peter 1:5. There are other occasions where things happen, and it is a result of God allowing our faith to be tested. God does not protect His people in a way that when we become Christians, that God makes sure we never suffer again. That bad things never ever happen to us again. It's the whole deal of bad things happen to good people, don't they? And when that happens, in my humanness, I scratch my head. I think, that doesn't make sense. But our world is not a perfect world. It was in the garden, and it will be in heaven. But during this lifetime, we are tested, and we are allowed to be tested. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who by God's power," and I know this is mid-sentence, "but who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation." And that's the idea here, is our salvation. "Ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." So that's saying you've experienced trials, here's the reason. Here is a reason for some trials we experience. "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God will allow our faith to be tested. We have a whole book of the Bible about this. It's the book of Job. I don't like the book of Job as a human being. It doesn't seem fair. But my spiritual side tries to understand God is the Almighty, not me. He didn't say, "Elliot, you figure out what's fair and make everyone, you know, you come tell me on the throne when you get it figured out and we'll work by it." The book of Job reminds us God will allow us to suffer and struggle and have things happen in our lives. And the reason is our faith is being tested. This life is a test of our faith, isn't it? If God gave to Christians everything they ever wanted and kept them from all suffering, wouldn't the whole world become Christians out of false motives? So how do you know if your faith in God is really true? One way you know is when struggle and pain and suffering comes, do you still walk with God? Even when you feel like He's not taking care of you or removing your suffering, do we still stand by God? Do we do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were about to be thrown in the furnace? They said to the evil king, "Hey, our God can rescue us, but," what did they say? "Even if He doesn't, we still won't bow down to you." In other words, if we suffer, we will stand by our God. That's our faith. And so sometimes we're being tested. Hebrews 12:7. Hebrews 12:7. "Sometimes God may be disciplining us." Another word to explain that would be redirecting us. Hebrews 12:7, and we're going to read 7 and 11. Verse 7 says, "It is for your discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Verse 11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful." So here's a scripture that says you may be experiencing pain. God may be causing it or allowing it. God desires it in your life, but there's a reason. God is trying to discipline you, redirect you. Painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Sometimes hardships come and God may be trying to get my attention. When those times come, if I'm wise, I'm going to, at the very least, I may not know if this is God. Is He trying to get my attention? Is He allowing me to be tested? Am I reaping what I sow? Or is this the devil? Because remember, what did Jesus say that the devil comes to do? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who hurt Job? The devil did. God allowed it. So things may come and they may be painful and I don't know why, but if I'm wise, I take a look at my life and evaluate it. I say, "God, do I need to change something in my life? Do I need to redirect to You? Do I need to stop living in sin? Maybe I am living in sin. Maybe I'm living a way that is not Your way and I'm being rebellious." So God may be trying to redirect us. But remember, in the first century, the Jews had a basic idea that if someone had calamity fall on them, that it was their own fault. Period. Every time. In fact, in John 9, remember the man that was born blind? The disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned? Him or his parents?" It's like the disciples knew the man, it was his own fault or somebody's fault, either him or his parents. They just weren't sure who. Jesus, tell us which one. We can't figure it out. Jesus said neither. Neither. They were wrong. His suffering was not because of sin. It was not a result of sin. Jesus said it was that God might be displayed in him. In other words, this life isn't perfect, but God shines in it. It gives us a chance to run to God. It gives us a chance to prove our faith in God. I want to read something to you, and I want to talk just a minute about Del Griffin. I admire Del so much because she is a person who has endured hardship in their life, and they didn't blame God in the sense of shame on God. They didn't lose their faith. They didn't turn away from God, but they ran to God. And I want to read something that she's written about this. She says, I believe the things that happened to me when I was young made me better, stronger, more understanding and caring. The cancer. I was starting to stray from God and the Word, and then cancer hit. God was right there. I fought it and won. The reason for the cancer was so I could be there when my granddaughter, Olivia, was brought into this world. I was there to keep her for 8 months in the beginning of her life. I was there when he started getting sick. I was there for all his surgeries, for his hospital stays. I was able to bring him home with me to stay so he could pass with those that loved him the most. I was there when my stepdad passed. I learned how exciting it is. And here's another thing about Dell I love. She says, I learned how exciting it is to teach Sunday school and watch the faces of children when they learn something new about the Bible. And if you've ever taught a children's class at church, you understand that, don't you? These are things I would not have had the chance to do if things, in quotes, didn't happen to me. I would have been busy at work and not made time for any of these important parts of my life. I admire Dell. Her attitude is the attitude we should have, isn't it? When calamity or trials or suffering comes on us. And I want to say that some things happen to us, and there is a reason. Now, we may not know with certainty, but we may look back like Dale is and looks back and says, I think God was redirecting me. I wasn't really walking close with him, and I think he was redirecting me. She looks back and sees all these blessings coming out of this very difficult time. And we will end today with a verse that says that same thing. That in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And so certain things in life, yes, God is doing something. Okay, but let's move on and talk about, is it true that there may be things that happen that is just a part of the world we live in, a part of life? In other words, If I drive out of here today and I get into a car accident on the way home because I ran a stop sign and I wasn't paying attention and I hit another car, did God cause that to happen? Okay? So, stay with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I want us to look at a few scriptures that people hold up to say that everything, every small thing, everything in your life happens, and God is causing it to happen exactly as it does. Okay? And the scriptures that people use for that. So, Ecclesiastes 3:1. You're familiar with this when you've heard this. It says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. So it goes on and on. The message is, there's a time for everything. We might say it a different way. We might say, you know what, there's a If you're trying to get something done with your children at home, doing chores, and they're goofing around, you might say, hey kids, there's a time to play, there's a time to work. This is a time to work. So that's the idea in this scripture. Okay, the scripture is not saying that every single thing in your life, absolutely God caused or directed all those specific things to happen. We know some He does. We know God is involved in our lives. My point is, do we know for certain that everything that happens a certain way in my life, that it is God's specific purpose, plan, that He caused it? Okay. Job 37. Job talks about the weather. He says, God thunders wondrously with His voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, He says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, His mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man that all men whom He made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind. Cold. The passage is Job saying, God, You're above all. God is above all. He's over the weather. God has power above all those things. True? But the message is simply of God's power over it. It's not the message that Friday night, if you got a lot of rain, raise your hand if you got a lot of rain at your house Friday night, or a good amount of it. Raise your hand if you didn't get that much rain at your house Friday night. So my question is regarding weather. Do you see what I'm saying? Now Bob didn't get as much rain as David did. Did God have a purpose in that? Does that make sense? When the tornado came through Sand Springs a couple years ago, it didn't hit my house. Part of what it hit was a trailer park. We know tornadoes, that's not where we want a tornado to go through. I mean, I don't want a tornado to go through anywhere. Did God want it to hit those houses and not other houses? Or if it did hit my house, did God want it to hit? Does that make sense? A tornado will hit a house and skip and bounce and miss all these others. My answer to that from this is, I cannot show you a verse that says absolutely God had a plan and purpose behind Bob getting less rain than David got. I don't have a verse that shows that. We do have scriptures that say there are times and instances that God is involved in your life. And Dale looks back on her struggles and sees God working. And so sometimes, yes, but it doesn't mean every single detail. All right, Acts 17:26. This is one about where people live and God's power and control over nations and kingdoms and people. And it says, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. So it does speak about God specifying where people would be and those type things, kingdoms. And so we might say that another way. We might say God is involved in human history. We might say God has been involved in kingdoms. He has allowed or caused kingdoms to rise up and others to fall. God can control all of that, and He has been involved. That scripture, although, doesn't mean that God wanted Bob to get less rain than David got. Make sense? So that doesn't blanket everything. All right, there is randomness in life. We'll turn to Ecclesiastes 9:11. Ecclesiastes 9:11. A few weeks ago, I preached a funeral for a friend of mine, a childhood friend. He and I, through grade school, were best friends. We spent a lot of time together. His name is Jeff Coleman. And recently, his dad had some heart attack symptoms. Went to the hospital, was life flighted to Tulsa, and died on the way. It was... I couldn't help miss the fact that a few years ago, my dad was having heart attack symptoms, went to the hospital, was life flighted to Tulsa, and had surgery and survived and is still living. Why does one... So I cannot take this. There is no verse or passage or teaching here that tells me God absolutely has a reason why my dad's still alive and my friend's dad is not. I cannot take this and say that's not possible. That God may not be. God does involve Himself in our lives, but it doesn't mean that every instance of everything that happens is God's specific causing it to happen. Make sense? Now, God knows things are going to happen. I'll give you an example. God knows the sins you will commit in your future. True? That doesn't mean God's planning those. So God can peek to the future. That doesn't mean that God is specifically wanting or planning that to happen. There is an element of randomness. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says again, this is Solomon, "Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong." This is a passage that says, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? He says, "Nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge." Listen to this. "But time and chance happen to them all. For the man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught up in a snare, so the children of man are snared in an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." It's a scripture that reminds us there is an element of randomness in our world today. I was at the softball field yesterday. About a 9-year-old girl got hit in the mouth with a ball. Knocked out one tooth, dislodged a second tooth. So she leaves the park with her mother and her older sister. She's crying. Mom's, I know, in a panic. Why did that happen? Did God want that to happen? Did God cause that to happen? So I cannot take this and go to the mom or the daughter and say, there's a reason that ball, I mean, the ball hit her in the face because she misjudged her glove and the ball. Okay? So we know why accidents happen. But I can tell her this. Romans 8:28. "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." This is ESV. Let me read you a few other translations of the same verse. New American says, "We know that God causes all things to work together." Now, notice this almost sounds like God's causing all things, but God doesn't cause all things because we have free will and we live in a world that has an element of randomness. But what is God causing? He's causing things to work together for good. He's causing good to come out of bad. NIV 84 says, "We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him." And the New Century Version, "We know that in everything, God works for the good of those who love Him." I can tell that mother and that girl, if you will turn to God, God will bring good out of this difficulty in your life.
Amen.
And that is something you can stand on that.
Yes.
All right? So I don't know, is there a reason God let my dad live and my friend's dad die? I don't know. I know God's working good in my friend's life. As he turns to God and as much as he'll run to God, I know God will do amazing things out of his hardship and hard time. And so this helps us because sometimes things are so painful in life and we may lovingly do more harm to someone's tragedy by trying to tell them God is the cause of it. And the fact is, we live in a fallen world. The devil may be the cause of it, just like with Job. But our Savior came to give life and life abundantly. If there's good in your life, God's behind it. Amen? Okay. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement. We want to close with this, with an offering. If there's something in your life that you would like us to help you with, pray for you about, some way we can help you in any way, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
If I knew I would You know him today. You can turn him.